Well, good afternoon, everyone. We are very happy to have you along for Local Matters on this Friday. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. Good afternoon, Pastor Ron.
Good afternoon, Friday. Dwight, I am so excited here about our topic today. I'm just so thrilled about what we're going to be talking about. And why don't you introduce that and let the folks know so we can get right into it?
You know, this is a topic that can pertain to someone who's in the first grade or someone who's 95 years old or anyone. It's very important to have to put something in front of you. Even Jesus did what we're going to talk about. He was our model for everything. What we're going to talk about today is the importance of having goals, the importance of having a plan, the importance of having things in your heart and your mind that you want to do, and why that matters a whole lot in terms of the direction of your life.
Well, Dwight, you know, we were talking just visiting a while before we got on air here about goals and visions and how important it is to have a goal for your life, a dream for your life. We must be people that have goals, and anything that would thwart that or anything that would hinder that or anything that would stop that is really not godly, because God said in His Word, I think it's Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, without a goal, without a dream, the people perish. And so, or another translation says that people cast off restraints. And what we're seeing now in our country, in a lot of ways, with some of the rioting and violence that we've been seeing, we're seeing people that have really cast off restraint, whereas America is the bastion of vision and goals and dreams. And, you know, we've all heard of the American dream, and obviously we know that America's not perfect. There's been problems with America, just like any family that you have. No family is perfect. But you don't destroy your family just because it's not perfect. Yeah. You don't destroy it. And so we talk about having a vision. We're talking about having something out in front of us that motivates us, that keeps us going, that something out in front of us that causes us to do this, Dwight, to cherish life,
yeah,
to love people, to recognize the value of what we have and to be thankful for the direction we're going in. But Dwight, if we don't have a goal, if we don't have a vision, we're not going to have any of that. We're not going to have that vision. I want you to tell the story here about your family and what happened in regard to, you know, we both were project kids, and God has blessed us. And I put something on Facebook the other day about being a project kid, and a woman responded. She said, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Really?
She said, I was too. And so now people call it government housing or subsidized housing or whatever. But,
sounds pretty,
but we were just project kids. So.
We didn't know that word.
Right.
Subsidized,
right. So why don't you tell us that great story,
Dwight? Like your dad, my dad became disabled when I was 6 years old. I had two younger sisters, one 5 and one 3. My dad never recovered. He died in a psychiatric hospital when he was 50 years old. And so back in those days, you know, daddies went to work and mamas had babies. Mm-hmm. And both of them were doing a really, really good job at doing that. And I mean, 10 and a half months after they were married, I'm here. You know, and then next year, another girl. And 2 years after that, my other little sister. Well, when dad becomes disabled, our world's upside down.
Wow.
I mean, he only had an 8th grade education, but had a pretty good job, I understand, in spite of that. Well, we end up, like a lot of people, we end up in subsidized housing.
Uh-huh.
We end up in the housing projects. We have food stamps. We had the subsidized medical care and all like that. And kind of grew. Now, my mother, to her credit, you know, she babysat. She took in ironing. She did stuff. I mean, she did all she could do to raise kids, earn part-time income and do all like that. But we were in project kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we got older and been again able to get old enough to get part-time jobs, you know, basically the message was, hey, if you're going to have this extra money, you know, rent's going to go up, food stamps are going to go down, health care is going to change, all that kind of thing. So it'd probably be better if your kids maybe didn't work.
Oh, my.
My mother said, and a lot of mothers and dads took that information and boom, they said, okay, hey, if it's going to create some extra stuff for us, then you just hang around the house or do whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, when my oldest sister got old enough to work full-time, I'd gone off to college by then, that made the income go up, you know, pretty substantially. And they were really facing something about, you know, increased rent and that sort of thing. So, no, my mother said, no, my kids are going to work.
Yeah.
Now, the system was saying to us, you're going to have a roof over your head, you're going to have some medical care, you're going to have your food stamped, your basic needs are going to be met. Not have a whole lot left over ever, but we'll take care of you there. And a lot of people get trapped in that.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I can go back and knock on the door of Clem Jones Heights in Athens, Tennessee right now, and I can know a lot of those people, next generation, they're there because their moms and dad didn't want them to work or whatever. So we got out, mom moved out into a little house, the best she could afford, and she said, no, my kids are not going to spend the rest of their life with this kind of system. We're going to do better. She had a vision. She had a goal. She said, my kids are going to have a better life and not be, this is a temporary thing. We're glad it was there. We appreciate the fact, but this is not going to be life evermore for bunch of them because of her vision and goal.
And that's a classic example of what a vision and goal is. I mean, that's such a good example there of what that is.
Hey, we're glad you're with us on a Friday afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. And we are talking about the importance of goals in your life. And just like Pastor Ron, he's the model for everything else. Jesus was our model for goal setting.
Yes, he was.
Jesus knew where he was going, John 13:3.
John 13:3, Dwight, the scripture says that Jesus knew where he came from. And like us, we're saying we came out of the projects. And then he knew where he was going. But Dwight, one of the most interesting things about that was because he knew that and because he had a vision of where he was going, it enabled him to sacrifice. It enabled him to lay his life down, because the next part of that is where he took the water and the towel and he washed his disciples' feet. Mm. Here he is, the King of all kings, and he's washing his disciples' feet and taking care of them and loving them and sacrificing his life for them. And Dwight, you know, when you talk about your mother, I think about our family too and how, you know, taking in ironing, babysitting, doing whatever. There was sacrifice involved, and we've got to quit being so afraid of that word. A lot of people think, well, if you sacrifice, you're into work salvation or you're trying to work for your salvation or whatever. No, there's nothing farther from the truth. We're saved because of what Jesus did, but if we have love and a vision, we will be willing to sacrifice things for our family, for that vision, for that hope.
Yes.
You will be willing to lay your life down to see that that is accomplished. There is a power in that, Dwight, that is so greater than any government subsidy. There is a power in that the government will never be able to help people with. There is a power in a vision that really, I think, sometimes just like that situation, if we're not real careful, government will squelch that. They will destroy that. Government will do things about that. And really, I don't think they necessarily try to do that. I think that they think they're trying to help people. It's almost like they're trying to become God.
Yeah.
And in that essence, any person that tries to become God, ultimately, because of that pride, ends up bringing destruction. And so I think we have to be really careful, Dwight, about any circumstance, any person, any situation that would try to destroy the vision. We go to God and we get the vision, we get the hope, we pray, we find out what's going on. And then we have to really put our nose to the grinding stone, so to speak, to get that vision out and to get it fulfilled, whether that's through laboring in prayer, laboring in a job, making sacrifices, loving your family, doing the things that you have to do to forgive people. All of those are things that will help us fulfill that vision.
You know, I'm thinking about, as we talked about Jesus there as our model for everything, and as you mentioned, him washing, taking on the role of a servant and washing the disciples' feet. I thought about the episode, Pastor Ron, when you were talking in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Wow.
In the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knows what's about to happen to him. He knows he's about to be crucified. He knows his spirit's about to leave his body. He knows all this, and his sweat turns to blood, you know, and he cries out to the Heavenly Father. He said, Father, if there, you know, and he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But at the end of the day, not my will, but your will be done. Mm-hmm. See, he had a goal.
Yes.
He had a vision.
He did.
And it was his goal and vision was you and me.
Yes.
And all of humanity, because he was about to take what we deserve, you know, separation from God because of our sins and punishment for sin, so that we could have what he has. And that goal, and he, let's listen, he was all man without ceasing to be God.
Right, right.
He faced that as a man.
He faced
the temptation as a man. So, but that goal, that vision of seeing everybody having a chance to come back into relationship with God because of what he was doing drove him to go ahead and do what he did. And
that's right.
That crucifixion and being raised from the dead.
Man,
that's
the
power of a goal and a vision.
That is the premier example of what having a goal and a vision is. And man, we just want to encourage all of our listeners today to get some goals out in front of you. Don't let what's going on in our culture with all the issues that we're facing cause you to vision or dream to die. Get those goals and visions out there. And after the break here, we're going to talk about some practical ways of how to fulfill those dreams and goals. You know, Dwight, one of the things that has really helped me is to realize I know this might sound strange, but we have to realize in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says to the Christians, to the body of Christ, all things are ours. Meaning, and what that means to me is not, I'm not going to be greedy or covetous over what you have, but it means to me there is no limit to what the vision or the goal can be. There is no, the boundaries are limitless when we begin to think about heaven, when we begin to think about the power of God, when we begin to think about what the tiny seed of a goal or a dream can be in your life. And whether you're a single mother like Dwight was with his mother having to raise three children in a housing project with her husband in the hospital, you know, whether you're a family that's strong and stuck together, whether you're a businessman or whatever, keep that goal and that vision alive. It will help to keep hope alive in your heart.
You know, and the scriptures also tell us, Pastor Ron, that, you know, about God, he said, able to do, listen to this, exceedingly abundantly above
all
that we ask or think.
Yeah.
So that prompts us to ask ourselves, well, what are we asking?
Yeah.
How are we thinking?
Yeah.
Are we thinking, and there are people that we know are in housing projects now, so, and that doesn't mean they're bad people. That doesn't mean, but if that's if my mother's mentality had stayed there, we'd still be there.
Well,
I think I said to you before we went on there, I can go back to where I was raised, and I do at Christmas time every year, knock on the door of the apartment that I was raised in, and share gifts with whoever's there, and say, hey, that was my room over there, and this is where we lived, and I want to encourage them, but it's according. According to what we ask or think.
Yeah.
So what are we asking?
Well, that's good.
How are we thinking?
That's good.
And what are our goals? Because our goals give us purpose.
Amen. Boy, that's good. Wow.
Hey, we better take a break. We'll both start preaching here.
Okay.
You stay with us. There's much more on Local Matters after this.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Hey, we're back on Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. Today, we're talking about the power of goals, the power of vision, and what it means in our lives. And we talked about initially that just like he's our example and our model for everything else, Jesus is our example for that. He had goals. He knew where he was going. He knew what his purpose was. He knew what his mission was. He was here, and it was that purpose, that mission, that drove him to allow people to spit on him, to have his beard plucked out, to put vinegar in his face, to be nailed to a cross, to be just tested all of his time while he's on this earth. But something else, Pastor Ron, that we know about goals, visions and goals. keep hope alive in
they
us.
They do.
Keeps hope alive in us. Talk about that a little bit.
You know, Dwight, I think a lot about the small seed of a vision. You know, there's a man that lived here in Cookeville that had a vision. You know, you buy a pair of jeans years ago when I was a kid. You'd buy a pair of blue jeans, they would be so hard. I mean, and stiff. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't even hardly walk without them giving you rash.
You stood them up to jump in them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he had a dream of taking gravel, rocks, and put them in those jeans and wash them to soften them up. I mean, that dream became a major business and major employee. And just from that small dream of...
And it was right here in Cookeville.
Right here in Cookeville, washing breeches in stones to stonewash jeans to soften them up. You know, and I just want to encourage our folks, have that hope that if you have a dream of something that you want to do, make the step. The hope that it keeps alive, Dwight, is the image of that success and that victory. It's the inward image of knowing every step. And, Dwight, it has to come, keeping hope alive has to come through small incremental steps. It's like sometimes, and I've heard this said many, many times, we must keep hope alive by that supernatural step by step by step by step, not by thinking something like a lot of people think, well, when I win the lottery or I get this big amount of money in my life, I'm going to do something. No, do something where you are. Start where you are. Start with what you have. Start with that seed and let that seed begin to develop inside. I used to think this, Dwight, that inside this seed, there was another plant. But you know, inside of an acorn, there is a whole forest waiting to come out of that. There's a whole forest waiting to happen in that seed. There's not just one oak tree, there's a whole forest in that oak tree wanting to come out. So you have to take that seed of that vision, Dwight, and let that seed begin to develop that image of whatever it is that you desire in your life, whatever it is that you've gotten from God that you believe. Develop that and let that come forward.
Pastor Ron, I'm sitting here thinking about, as you're talking, your vision for Living Hope Church.
Wow.
Now, I know it because I'm a member of the church and have known you for a lot of years, and your wife, Beth. You were a fireman.
Yeah.
Beth had another job. You had a vision, and you opened up your house to a Bible study. And there you were. And I've heard you tell us before, if I get it correctly, first day you opened up your house, it snowed.
Yeah.
And nobody came. You and your wife and the babies you had at the time. But that was... You just said that you had Living Hope Church in your heart.
Yeah.
And then you started in your house. It grew a little bit. You had to move to the garage.
Yeah.
And then it kind of completely took over the garage. Well, we're going to have to rent us a place. And you rented your place.
Yeah.
But here, seeds growing. So and then it grew a little bit more, and you rented another place.
Yeah.
And then how many years ago did you build a building? 15?
15, 20 years ago.
And then you built this building. And then real soon, we'll be celebrating 25 years of ministry.
Yeah.
And I don't say this, I'm not boasting on Pastor Ron Allen, although it's your faith and the faith of your wife that you allowed God to use you in this. Now, here you are heading a ministry that feeds 3,000 or 4,000 people a year, seeing people saved and baptized in a jail ministry, a Bible school at your church, children's ministry. I could go on and on and on and on with that. Well, you had no idea when you were sitting there in your house and nobody came. and supporting ministries or locally, you know, here locally and around the world.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and when you sat in your house the first time, and then over time you made the decision to leave your job.
Yeah.
Your wife made the decision, Beth, to leave her job. You kept planning, and here you are today. It didn't happen overnight.
No.
But it wouldn't have happened if you didn't have that vision, that go and stay faithful to it.
And that's the key, Dwight, staying faithful. That's the key that will help. Like that first night, you know, Dwight, nobody came. I think there were about 10 people that told us they were going to come, and nobody came that night. And so, but you know what we did? We went ahead and had the Bible study. We had it with us and the little children, our little children. But we thought, no, if we're going to do this, we're going to be faithful to it. We're going to be, even if people come and people go, we will be faithful to what God wanted. And it was so strong in our hearts, Dwight, that we just couldn't get beyond it. It was there. And that's the way it is. That's the way the vision is. Your vision may be starting a business. Your vision may be an idea, an invention you have. Whatever it is, step out. Make that small step.
Yeah. Hey, we're glad you're with us on a Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of the Living Hope Church. And we're talking about the importance of having goals and having vision and having purpose in your life. And I think you touched on this a little bit earlier. If we don't have goals and we don't have purpose, we tend to cast off restraints. I mean, any restraints we have, whatever will be, whatever looks good, feels good, smells good, smells good, tastes good, all that. There tends to be no restraints if we don't have goals and vision.
And Dwight, in that scripture in Proverbs 29:19, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But then the very part B of that verse says, happy is he that keeps the law. And we know we're not under the law under the New Testament, we're under grace. But what he's saying is, if you have a vision, you're going to have principles. You're going to have a standard. You're going to have boundaries in your life. And a lot of times, the worst thing people do is they have this, for example, I've seen people have a vision of wanting to help people or maybe give housing to homeless people. Well, if that's your vision, you don't start by overflooding your home with them. Because you can't help someone if they're destroying your life. So there has to be boundaries and principles. But see, by having that strong goal or that strong vision, there will be principles and boundaries in your life that you will keep. You will keep going when nobody pats you on the back. You'll keep going when it looks rough. You'll keep going when the finances may not be there. You'll keep going, and then if you keep going with that vision and that hope, you're keeping hope alive in your heart through your internal life, not through external, but you're keeping that hope alive. Before you turn around, it's like you'll turn around one day and all this is going on, all this stuff's going on, you think, my God, you did this.
Yeah.
But you did this because somebody took a stand. Somebody was faithful with their vision. Somebody kept the vision alive. Somebody kept encouraging. Somebody kept encouraging themselves. Dwight, I'm reminded of the story in the Bible where at Ziklag, the armies came and stole David's family. They took everybody's his whole army. They stole and captured and kidnapped their families. And the scripture said they wept and wailed till they could not cry anymore. Then David went out and sought the Lord and said, what should I do? Do I go after him? What do I do? And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, pursue them, go after them, pursue, keep going after them. And so when Dwight, when he did that, they captured and went back and got their entire family, Dwight.
Amen.
But they got the seed, they got the word from the Lord, they got the vision from the Lord, and it produced the victory in their lives.
Well, that's strong.
Yeah.
That's true. At some point in time, we have to make a decision. I mean, it's about deciding in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about you and Beth. This church was in your heart. You made a decision. I love that word. I love that word decide, which means to cut from or to eliminate all other options.
Yeah.
That's the power of a vision, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, boy, that's a good word.
And you mentioned that word where there's no vision, the people perish. Well, and I've done a little word study on that word perish. And one of the definitions that I really like as it relates to what we're talking about, the importance of setting goals, is without a vision, it's coming to a halt.
Wow.
Coming to a standstill. Coming to a halt. So without a goal, without a vision, the people, we come to a halt in life. There's nothing to get us out of bed in the morning. There's nothing to drive us, no real purpose there.
And what this is something that you see so massively in socialism, in socialist countries where they are depending on the government to give them the vision.
Yeah.
And Dwight, we cannot be a people that depend on the government for vision. We have to depend on God to put the vision in our lives. And when he does that, the decision is cut and dried. The decision is settled. The decision is a vision that comes out of that choice of saying, this is a dream that I have. This is a goal that I have. And I don't know, you know, it may be starting a business, but I'm going to do something today. I'm going to read a book about that business I want to start. I'm going to get online and find information about how to start this business. I'm going to do something every day to keep that goal alive. I'm going to do something. And I'm not dependent on any man. I'm not dependent on any government to do that for me, because if I do, I will always have them to think and worry about and depend on rather than think and wait. I can trust God. I can look to God who will help fulfill this. Something's happened to stop your dream, your goal. Get the wisdom from God. Go to God, pray, seek Him, and then keep stepping out, keep going with that, and you'll turn around one day and that goal will be reality in your life.
Wow.
Man.
Like I heard you say from the pulpit not long ago, just show up.
Yeah,
just keep showing up.
Just keep showing up. Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
This has been Rich, Pastor Ron. Yeah. So happy to have you with us this afternoon. Join us next time, same time next week for Local Matters.